guys, we are here after a little bit of
A break,
hiatus, right? Yeah. Bit of a break. I honestly don't even know what episode this becomes, but
you know what? I don't remember.
I'm really off. Episode 410. We were talking, had a conversation.
And you're actually in person this time.
Not a head on a TV. I am here in person. A lot went on the last few weeks, and so we just said, let's come back in the new year stronger and better than ever, and so we're going to try to do that today. But yeah, we had a conversation and said, do we feel like in the new year we should like start over like with a new volume? So this would be volume two, episode one. And Levi's like, no, we really need some street cred, you know? So we need to show that we've been around for a while. And I said, I agree. So we'll just keep on going. We're somewhere in the upper 30 register.
Yeah, somewhere in there. I'll have to check.
I almost feel like we're verging like on 40 episodes.
We're getting close.
Okay, it's getting really close. Guess what?
Yeah.
Audience at home doesn't care.
No, but they did see it before we came up on screen, so...
They did.
They did.
They know exactly.
So they know. They're like,
we are not in the know. You are in the know as you're watching this. So you're, I guess, ahead of us and ahead of the ball game. So I'm very excited today to talk a little bit. Going to do a couple different things today. Going to talk a little bit about what we spoke on and kind of explored on Sunday. Want to talk a little bit as well too, and we don't want to drown you in this, but we want to invite you. We understand that watching this, there are certainly a lot of people at New Heights that watch this that would definitely benefit from what we're going to talk about and what we're doing in this upcoming year. But we also want to invite anybody who would watch this at any point throughout the year or beyond to do what we're trying to do here at New Heights in just a basic sense. I think it's healthy and it's good for anybody. And what we are doing is what is called the Bible Engagement Project. And again, I was asking you, Levi, you know, how long we had been talking about this and thinking about this, planning and preparing for this. And 2020 was kind of a blur for us, so we're not really sure when we started talking about it.
Did we start that in 2019?
Let's just be really safe in saying that it's been well over 6 months.
Oh, yeah. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah. So somewhere between 6 months to a year, we've really been talking about this Bible Engagement Project. I honestly don't even remember what initiated it, how we even found out about it, but it just seemed like God was calling us as a church. One of the things that we did last year, honestly, was we got very intentional and very focused and very directed towards reading the Bible together as a church.
Yeah.
And so we utilized a lot of YouVersion Bible reading plans. People really appreciated that. Yeah. I felt like it was really great, but we wanted to take it also a step further.
Right.
And so that's what the Bible Engagement Project is doing for us. And so just in a very basic sense, to kind of set everything up for why in the world, Ryan, are you starting at the beginning of everything? And that this is going to set everything up for the year, for the wrap, so you understand things a little better. Is the Bible Engagement Project, and what I said and what I have been saying is, hopefully you agree with me. If not, then I'm just way off course here. There is a pretty big difference in my mind between understanding the Bible and engaging the Bible.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
There is, because a lot of times we read it just to read it. We read it for the knowledge of it, right? And
which
is good.
Not a bad thing overall, but there's
but
more.
But when it stops there, what we end up with is just a bunch of facts and figures that
absolutely
we don't live out in our own lives.
I think it's Paul that says, and I don't know what book he says it in, but he essentially says that knowledge puffs up.
Yes.
And so the way I said it on Sunday is that knowledge and just strictly pure knowledge can make our heads bigger, make our brains bigger, but it can also inflate our ego too, you know, and just it just puffs us up.
It can really cause somebody to feel like they are more they're superior towards
I know more than I know more than you. Right. I know things that you don't know, and that's not the spirit of God.
Because if you're like that, you've totally missed the point of what you just read.
You have, and I like the point that you made too there. That sometimes, and boy, I just gonna be frankly honest. Guilty of it more often than I would like to admit that I'm just reading to read.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're reading to fill that checkbox of I read my Bible today like a good Christian, right?
Here's what typically happens. I was just having this conversation with someone the other day last year in the reading plan that I was going through. Not only was I doing that reading plan, but I was doing the YouVersion reading plans, and it was a lot of reading, and it was good. It was beneficial. I ended the year I felt like stronger. Spiritually than when I began, and that's the point of God's word, to grow us and to transform us and to change us. But reading that reading plan, which is about four chapters a day from various points in the Bible, and then the YouVersion reading plan, if I got behind by just day two, three, man, it was everything I could do just to try to get back to where I was supposed to. And I found that sometimes as I'm reading, I'm like, I'm reading to read.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm even really getting much out of this. And that's not what we want out of reading God's word.
And we want to be able to, slow down and really internalize.
Right? Yes.
Because I don't know how many times I've read something just to read something, whether it be the Bible or another book. But I power through it, and like 2 minutes later, I'm like, now what did I just read?
Yeah, what did I do?
And if we're doing that, that's really not doing us
any
good.
You're missing the point.
Right.
You're missing the point. Right. That God's word is not.
God's word says we need to meditate on it day and night, not like power read it.
Yeah, God's word is not meant for us to just simply understand. That's a good starting point, but it's meant for us to engage.
Right.
For us to be. This is kind of the tagline kind of have used from the very beginning of it, is we want to help people and we want to help ourselves too. It's not about like Levi and I are the experts of God's word and like we know how to read it and everything and how to engage it. Guess what? We don't. We're learning as well.
Do you ever feel like, I'm sorry to interrupt on you, but
that's all right.
You ever feel like the more you learn and the more you engage the word, the more you realize you really don't know what you're talking about?
Yeah,
right? You find out your weaknesses more and more
as you're going through. Honestly, though, I found like it's a good place in life.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are finding like, man, I feel so overwhelmed by this and I feel so like there's more questions that I now have and I feel like I'm not getting. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's exactly how you're supposed to feel. That's called it's called humility.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's great. And like I said, what we've really tried to instill from the very beginning is that we want to read God's word, not just for information, but for transformation. And that's really what we hope happens with the Bible Engagement Project. And so I guess in a very easy and basic way, what I could tell people to do, like if you are very interested in being a part of this process with us. And again, we know that you may not necessarily be a part of New Heights, but we feel like that if you come across the wrap and you watch the wrap, that you are part of the New Heights family. And so we don't think it's a bad thing to be able to encourage people, read God's word.
Yeah.
Get into God's word. And what we are really trying to do this year is to go all the way back to the beginning, the basics of everything. We are starting in Genesis, and by the end of the year, we're going to go through the entire Bible all the way through Revelation. Now, I don't want anybody to be mistaken and be like, well, you left that out, or you left that story out, or you left that person. This is a broad overview. Again, we're spending about, 48 weeks going through Genesis to Revelation. We've added some things, and we are adding some things along the way. So certainly in 48 weeks, you're never going to be able to exhaust the depths of Scripture. I honestly don't even know how long it would take to really slow everything down to be able to take in like every story. Nor do I know if you really want to do that, because at eventually a point you're just like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with this. So we were really just trying to take and get a broad, what I call 30,000 foot view of the Bible.
Yeah, just enough that we can connect the dots, right?
Yes.
Like we're
hit the high points,
right?
Really, and so that's what we're trying to do. And I think, like I said, the easiest way that help you, if you're watching, you're like, I'm interested in knowing more about this and what you guys are doing, is to invite you to go to the New Heights website.
Yeah,
I guess it'll be in the show notes as well. I hope you think this will be the best way to let people know it, because I could sit here and I could talk for. Ever.
Yeah.
And I'm really good at that. You ask the people at New Heights. I could talk on end about the Bible Engagement Project and the ways that we foresee people engaging. But we also kind of designed it too and said a little bit of this is kind of a choose your own adventure. What works for you? So one of the things we're doing here is we're reading the Bible through in a year from front to back. And another thing that we're doing is, for some people, they're like, I don't know if I can read the whole Bible. It seems very overwhelming and intimidating. Well, we also got personal devotions that you can do daily that are shorter chunks and just a few verses with some questions to kind of think about it. Just a lot of different ways for people to engage. We understand that everybody learns differently, and we want people to engage as part of the process. So the easiest thing I can tell you to do is to go to newheightsconnersville.com/BEP.
Yes.
And what you will find there is a very simple and easy three-step process to join a group, which will be the New Heights group, that will allow you to read the Bible along with us and engage in a bunch of different ways. It'll help you to also download an app called the Logos Bible app. And then the third step, I'm trying to remember what that third step
explore.
Is on there.
Oh, just yeah. The third step is simply explore.
Explore. And that's the name of the game that we are trying to tell people is... We understand that doing this, and if you do engage with this, you're probably going to start doing this and be like, this is super overwhelming.
Yeah, it can do a lot.
It can do a lot. What you need to find is your groove.
Yeah.
Your rhythm, your routine, what is going to work for you. But again, at the base level, what we're going to try to help people to do is to engage, to get into the Word. Maybe you watching this and you're like, I really have never opened up the Bible. I've never really read the Bible all the way through. I've never really understood the Bible. It just makes no sense to me. The best thing you can do, get into God's Word. And the best way to do that, I think, is to go back to the beginning and then just see this. And what we're going to talk about today and try to start segging into right now. I don't even think segging is a word.
I think segwaying.
I don't know. Segwaying sounds really weird, too. This is a good seg.
Transitioning.
This is a good transitioning.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's not make up words, although I do love to make up words.
Hey, that's just how we roll on the rap.
To talk about a very important point that I want to make that I think some people misunderstand is that the Bible is one unified story.
Yeah, we oftentimes look at it as pieces and different
fragments and disconnected stories. And what in the world does it have to do with this over there? Just tell me about Jesus and that's good. And one of the things I think irritates me most about people and reading the Bible, and not necessarily just any old person, but usually it's from, sadly enough, church leaders and preachers and pastors and teachers. Is they'll do something like this, the Old Testament, we're gonna skirt by that real quick. Let's get to the New Testament. That's such a shame. It really is.
Yeah. I love how you were talking last week about how everything in the Bible is connected with Jesus.
Yeah, and that's the big point.
And that's the thing we miss a lot of times, everything.
Everything. And that's not a hyperbole and over-exaggeration. Yeah. That is everything in the Bible. And some people might push back on that, like, everything? Like, yes, everything. Yeah. And I was even starting this week, this Sunday, and the next time we come on the wrap, we're talking about starting at the account of creation.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you're like, okay, bro, show me Jesus there.
Yeah, I don't see Jesus.
Oh, he's there.
He is, yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit next time. I don't want to trample all over that, but... you really do find it that the way I said it is all of Scripture is all about Jesus.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a little bit of an undercurrent, a tone that's going to carry us all the way through this whole year is that makes sense. That's the key to unlocking and showing this being a unified story.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one that kind of holds that together. Everything in Scripture up to Jesus points to Him. And everything after Jesus comes flows out of Him and His ministry and His life. And so
even those obscure prophetic books, right? Like it was all happening so God could usher in His plan of redemption.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, this is very interesting. Totally bonus and aside before we kind of talk a little bit about what we talked about on Sunday is I think what also helps people that people may not understand and know, I was talking about this in Bible study on Sunday morning, is that one of the things that helps me make sense as well, too, is that, unfortunately, our Bible is set up really bad, specifically the Old Testament. Because I think when we read the Old Testament, it starts off really great, first five books of the Bible, Pentateuch, books of Moses, we're good. Then it starts to get a little off kilter. And the reason I say that is because if you understand, the Hebrew Bible is set up in a different way. It's almost set up in thirds, really. Starts out with the first five books of Moses, but then it goes into the prophets. Mm-hmm. Then it ends with, actually the Hebrew Bible ends with Chronicles. In our Bibles, it's 1st and 2nd Chronicles. It wasn't always split into two books. It was one book, Chronicles. It ends with that. And if you read it in that way, mm-hmm. first five books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, books of Moses, then you read the prophets, because it never made sense to me, honestly. I'm reading and I'm like, I don't get why in the world, like, they've yeah. already been exiled, and then you come to the end of the New Testament and they're talking about being exiled, and it's like, I don't get, that's because
yeah.
for whatever reason, and that's a whole other rap episode, yeah. like a bonus episode of why the Bible was put together in our English translations the way it was. But I think it just knowing little things like that helps mm-hmm. it to come together a little better, like, oh, that makes much more yeah. sense. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit here. Just for a few minutes about, I told my people, I said, where's a logical place that we start if we're going to start right at the beginning in Scripture? And they would naturally say what?
Naturally, they'd say the beginning.
That's Genesis. What Genesis means. Right. And I said, yeah. yes, but no, we're going to start at Luke 24. And they were kind of like, oh, right. Ryan's really lost it. Like, he really isn't with us here today, is he? No. But like I said, Luke 24, Walk to Emmaus is actually a perfect story to set up all of this idea of the Bible being one unified story, Jesus being the point of all of Scripture. And just in a nutshell, that story I said on Sunday, I think, is very undersold, underappreciated. Mm-hmm. And honestly, a lot of people may not even know about that story. It's in one gospel at length in Luke. Mark briefly mentions it in like one verse about yeah. these disciples. And again, in a nutshell, two disciples walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They're shattered. Their hopes seem shattered. Their leader, their perceived Messiah and Savior, has been crucified on a cross. There's reports of the tomb being empty, but they have no idea what that means. There's so much emotion going on in the story.
They know Jesus' body was stolen.
Was taken. They're beside themselves. They're at a loss for any sort of explanation as to what's happening, and they're just kind of trudging back home to Emmaus, and lo and behold, who shows up in this walk?
Jesus himself.
But they don't know it's Jesus, yeah. do they? Yeah. It's a very interesting line. It says that God kept them from recognizing him.
Yeah.
All right? That was divinely ordained. That's a divine thing there, that God was, for some reason, and we understand as we read the story why he was kind of hiding Jesus' identity. But they... They say, Jesus says, hey, oh, you're like, what are you guys discussing? What's going on? What's the news of the day? And what do they say to him? Specifically Cleopas, we get one of the people's names. What does he say? Remember?
Don't you know?
Buddy, you must be the only person around here.
You've been living under a rock,
right? You've been living under a rock. You're the only person around this area that doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem the last few days. Irony, right? Because yeah. Jesus is like, yeah, I understand very clearly what happened because it happened to me. But anyways, he plays along and he says, what things? And so they tell him about what's happened, crucifixion. There's some sort of thing going on here, but Jesus' body is not there. The angels are telling us he's been raised back to life. The women saw it, you know.
But we're
really not yeah. understanding this, though. What does Jesus do? What does it say he does?
He goes back and just explains everything.
Well, first before that, you know, in true Jesus form, what does he say? You foolish people, slow to believe, stubborn in heart. And then what does it say he does?
He explains everything to them.
He explains everything to them by doing what? Going all the way back to the beginning. Yeah. Says that he teaches them from the books of Moses, the law, the prophets, the writings, everything. What he's trying to say there is basically at that time, all they have is the Old Testament.
Right.
They're living the New Testament.
Right.
So all of the Old Testament guys... Here's how I'm shown in every part of the Old Testament, or how Jesus is shown in every part of the Old Testament. And then they come to the point where they're at Emmaus. It's getting late in the evening, and they insist that Jesus stay with them, have a meal with them. And it's at that, and in the house, and the meal, that something happens.
They realize who Jesus is.
How do they realize who Jesus is? Remember?
When he... broke the bread.
He breaks the bread and offers it to them. Now, again, I said I don't, it's not that I don't believe. Those two disciples weren't in the upper room. I don't. That was the direct, 12 disciples. These are more of an outside group or a larger group of disciples. Mm-hmm. They were not there in the upper room at the Last Supper, so they don't understand the significance of what Jesus did there. But they have to have at least heard about that. And there's a kind of echoes to that. But anyways, Jesus breaks the bread and it says at once their eyes are opened. And again, in true Jesus fashion, as they, oh my land, this whole time Jesus has been here, Jesus is gone, right? It says he disappears at that point. And then there's a key verse there. I think it's about verse 32 of Luke 24. It says, didn't our hearts burn within us as he explained in one translation, but really the word there is opened the scriptures to us. Yeah. And really the whole point of the story is that we have to be prepared. Our eyes and our hearts have to be open to be able to see Jesus for who he truly is. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's not that we intentionally do this, but we have blocks and obstacles and things that get in our way of seeing Jesus for who he really is.
Yeah.
Our stubbornness, our lack of humility, our misunderstanding scripture,
our doubt.
Jesus has to prepare us. He had to prepare these disciples. He has to do the same thing to us. And the way that he does that is not by like berating them. He says foolish, but then he's like, I'm going to use now God's word.
Here's a teaching moment for him, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to use God's word, all of God's word, to show that it's all about me. And also, too, within that is the larger thing that we said is that Scripture is one unified story.
Yeah.
And so that to me is just a really great teaching moment, not for these disciples, but also for us.
Yeah.
That if there's some sort of thing that, like you said, you've got some doubt or you're just kind of shaky or you're just not really, go back to God's word.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. You were talking about how they weren't in that upper room when the original, breaking of bread and you do this in the remembrance of me and that whole thing. But if you think he had gone through all of Hebrew scripture with them, they knew the significance of that, that blood and that.
Yep.
That bread.
Yeah, absolutely.
They, more than us today, could connect with, he's talking about that sacrificial lamb.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Like that. So I think that was cool.
Like every story that he shares, they're like,
he's connected it all with them.
And I think that as well, too, they don't really begin to even connect every single thing until they recognize him.
Right.
He's disappeared. And then they start to say, you remember that part of the story where he's talking about, that was him.
Yeah.
That part of the story where he's talking about, that pointed to him, and so I think that's the joy. We reading God's word is not supposed to be like, I gotta do. No, it's a joy that I want to find how Jesus shows up in the story. I want to see how God works throughout all of the story, throughout all of history. And that's the joy and excitement. And really what we want for everybody here at New Heights, anybody who would come across this, is the very same thing these disciples went to. We want your hearts to burn when you come across Jesus in Scripture.
Yeah.
And get excited. Be hopeful. And that's what happened to these disciples. Their hope was restored. They were reinvigorated. It says that they that very, within the hour, they were all going all the way back to Jerusalem. 7 miles, roughly. 7 miles.
Yeah.
In the dark of night to go and say, you guys have got to hear what just happened to us.
Yeah.
And that's the most exciting thing, I think, of God's word. That's what we really should be motivated to do, is to share the things that God is doing in our life and revealing to us.
And God's word has a way of really stoking that fire, in our spirits.
Yeah.
And then really making us excited about what God's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like I said, we would love that you would find a way to engage, I'll just use that word, in the journey that we are kind of going on for this year. And again, you can find that in the show notes, an easy way to do that. One of the resources I would recommend as well, too, that I try to tell people about a lot, very little book. It's a book by Kenneth Boa called Jesus in Every Book of the Bible or something of that nature. I can't remember specifically the title. We'll let you find it, put it correctly down in the show notes.
You'll find it in the show notes.
Yes, you'll find that in the show notes. But it's a great, I think, to just see Jesus truly does show up in every book of the Bible. Yeah. And here's how that happens. Just a really great way to get a good overview of all of that. And so
something we could too offer up is if you're a church leader and you want to do this whole thing with your church, I'll go ahead and put in the show notes as well the link to the Bible Project website, the place where we're getting all this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can sign your church up for it as well.
This isn't our thing. We would love to share this with other people.
We're not paid sponsors.
No, we don't get a dime.
We don't get anything from that. But if you're a church leader and you're interested in doing that, it's
love
it's
to a good point resource. You to that and love to kind of let you know what we've already learned early in the process. And we've learned a lot.
We're still learning.
Yes, we are every single day. And so we, again, as usual, want to thank you for taking your time to listen to a couple of schmoes like us just ramble on about God's word. But that's
we've not rambled in a little while.
So we had a little bit of extra today we had to do, but we hope we didn't keep you too long. But again, thank you for tuning in today, and we will see you next time.
See you guys.